Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Welcome into Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts coming up in Week 4 at Wembley Stadium, London. We'll break that game down. Talk Jags offense, how they match up against the Colts D. We'll flip it around the other way, too. Can the Jags put together another strong defensive performance as they did last week? And we'll pick some games around the National Football League.
How did I do last week, by the way?
You were 7-8.
I was?
That's terrible.
I was 6-9. I still have the season lead on you. And we'll get Tony in here this week, too.
7-8 and 6-9? You couldn't even pick a winning?
No.
That's awful.
Oh, so you're going to do better?
Yeah.
Just like you've been doing really good in fantasy on game day?
I'm better at picking games in fantasy. Now, is that against the spread or just
straight up.
It's terrible.
I was like 0 for my first six, and then I rallied the last games in the 4 o'clock games is what happened with me.
That's embarrassing.
Sometimes you got to take a flyer on things, Tony.
I'm glad you're finally here to do it, though. That's good.
Well, you know, excited a week off with the London trip. No Thursday night football this week, so it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah. So let's start with this London trip, the fourth consecutive season of what will be a long string of games each year in London. The Jags are now 1-2 in that game. I think they've kind of figured out the routine now, especially with a win last year. Go Thursday, get there Friday, and get the heck out of Dodge, right?
I know that you guys would echo what I'm going to say here. Nobody was happier than that they got the win than a lot of the staff, because traveling on Thursday is way better than traveling on Sunday or
Monday. We'd
already
be there right now.
Yeah.
That's right. We'd be doing this show in a hotel.
Which, you know, I don't have a problem with. I mean, if that's what, you know, we got to do, that's what we do. But I would much rather be home and then go there for a couple days and then have the game and then come home instead of being there all week. We were, but well, one year, what, we were, how many pubs did we hit?
Well, we left Sunday after the, Sunday after the Cincinnati game.
We hit a lot of pubs.
We were there Sunday. We got there Monday morning.
Yeah, we actually started on them because when we left on Sunday, we hit a pub in Cincinnati before we even got to the pubs over there in London area.
That's right. There was a team dinner after the game.
There was a lot of pubs.
Yeah.
A lot of pubs. I don't need to go to that many pubs.
You don't want to start counting pubs before you get to England.
No.
Because that's a,
no,
that turns
it's not
into
good.
A really, really long week. So this one's short, and the Jags get the Colts. The Colts rallied for that win with a nice play to T.Y. Hilton in the final couple of minutes last week against the Chargers. Just looking at this matchup, the Jags got to have something, man. They got to find a way to power through and get a win. This Colts team got one finally last week.
Here's the difference between the Jaguars and the Colts right now. Andrew Luck made something happen with a wide receiver at the end of that ball game, and the Jaguars weren't able to do that. You know, and right now that's kind of the story. And will Blake Bortles be able to elevate his level of play to match that against the of Andrew Luck? I don't know. But, I mean, I'm not saying that it's a one-guy-against-one-guy game, but, I mean, that's kind of been the difference. The Colts' defense right now, they're not very good. They're giving up 400 yards a game. They've got a new defensive coordinator. And I don't know about you, Tony, but I've watched the tape on them. They're not that good personnel-wise. They're just not. They're old. And they've had a lot of guys hurt.
Well, they had a lot of injuries, as you just mentioned, in training camp, especially in the secondary. So they have a bunch of guys who are on the street that are playing football now. Vontae Davis came back, but then he got injured a little bit. And I don't know his exact status of the game at this point, but he got dinged up again. I think it was an ankle injury he had during training camp, and he dinged it back against the Chargers. And so they are a team that is – quarterback-centric, to say the least, but skill position-centric around that offense. They got some pretty good weapons, guys who can stretch the field, make things happen. But defensively, they were just okay if they're 100% healthy. They can't affect the passer very well. Their secondary, we just talked about, not great. The linebacker, there's not one position group on that defense that stands out. Now, I believe they're well-coached, and they're going to be in the right position. They did limit San Diego offensively.
Which was surprising.
It was.
I didn't see that happening.
I didn't either. I think
that was one of the games we both missed on. I think we both probably picked San Diego.
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an opportunity for this Jaguar offense to play better, because they're not going to play against the talent they did against, at least up front,
Yeah,
as they did against Baltimore, because Brandon Williams and Timmy Jernigan for the Baltimore Ravens are really good players. There's none of those guys on the Colts.
Well, I would disagree with you. David Perry, I think, is a pretty stout nose tackle. He's not Brandon Williams.
No, you're right. I'm not saying they don't have good NFL players. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it's a walk in the park.
You just called him out, didn't you?
No. I'm saying Brandon Williams and Timmy Jernigan for the Ravens are one of the better combination of a nose and a three technique in the NFL. Those are two guys who can get after you. And Brandon Williams, especially in the run.
I like Brandon Williams a lot. I always have. Jernigan,
played well on Sunday.
Yeah, he played really well, but I don't think he's that good. You would have to agree with that. He's not that good.
Well, he's
the way not the way played, the Jaguars made him look.
Well, he's a good player, though. He's better than anyone in the Colts have.
Yes, no doubt. And the Colts, to talk about their secondary just a little bit more, Vontae Davis did return last week. We don't know what's going to be his status for this week's game. The other injuries that they had in the secondary, Patrick Robinson, who is their usual starting left cornerback, has been inactive. Darius Butler, who has been a nickel, has been inactive. That's why they went out and they signed Antonio Cromartie, who can't run anymore, can't cover anymore.
We hope he plays.
And to be honest with you, watching the Colts-Chargers film, I can't believe that Phillip Rivers didn't go after Antonio Cromartie more. Shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
Well, remember last year when he was with the Jets, A-Rob just abused him, and they went after him.
Well, a couple years ago was it the Saints, right?
That was Browner.
Or Browner.
Yeah, Cromartie was last year with the,
that's right,
with the Jets.
But he's slowing down.
Yeah.
He's slowing down. And Phillip Rivers, I thought, would just, you know,
feed him all day.
Okay, right? Here we go. Let me feed my guy. And he wasn't feeding him nothing.
Big picture, Jaguars going to London. Is this a good time for a trip like this to break up the routine, or do you guys believe in that kind of thing? Or does it matter where they play a football game right now?
Well, on Sunday it won't matter where you're playing.
Wait.
But you know what?
Sometimes, if they win, it's good, right?
I think just changing it up a little bit. I mean, they're in a little bit of a funk right now, and there's a lot of noise and a lot of stuff going on here around them in the city. And in today's world, it's hard to get away from it because social media travels. It'll be in London, too. I mean, if you get on your Twitter timeline, Instagram, and everything else.
Tony keeps us updated on all that.
I know, yeah. He's into it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to work Instagram, but I am a big Twitter guy.
You just blocked some people earlier.
First
in the
time
week.
Ever I blocked somebody. It was great.
Why are you blocking people?
Oh, abusive, Jeff. I was getting abused. It was abusive language. Couldn't handle it.
Wait. Abusive language on Twitter?
Yeah, it was ugly.
It was ugly.
Toward him. Yeah.
Really?
He can handle it. He's not as...
I was good for a while, but then I started getting mad, and I could see like me reacting in a way that would not represent the Jaguars or my family in a good manner. So I said, you know what's best? Just block him. Don't engage. So I did. But I do think getting away a little bit, changing the scenery. When you're losing like this team has, they're 0-3. The famous saying, you are what your record says you are, and that's true. But they've lost two games by 6 points. They're two plays away from being 2-1 and everyone feeling much different. And so the danger of that with a young team is that you're 0-3 and you don't want them to start believing they're a bad team and they can't do it and they don't know how to win and they can't get over the top. And you start, and that's all you're hearing right now in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the fans. This is not putting down the fans, and I understand why they're saying that. But maybe getting away from that a little bit, finding a way to win a ball game, changing that mentality, because they are an 0-3 team. I don't think they're as bad as their record is right now, but that's how all we can judge them by. And you hope a change of scenery, kind of kick them in the little pants a little bit, and something happens.
You hope. You hope, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
There's only one way to do that.
Well,
great. That's great analysis.
Well, I know. Yeah, I'm digging deep, Tony.
You usually score more points than them.
That's a great idea, too.
Right now, the
touchdown's not field goal.
Hey, the way the Jaguars' offense is functioning right now, do you feel good about it?
No.
I mean, no.
Not really.
No. No, I mean, the
you got to go prove
it. And
I'm
just, you know, how do you go from, okay, last year, okay, now you got another year of experience. And then how they looked in the preseason, we were like, these guys, they're starting to gel. They're going to be fun to watch even more than they were last year. And then to where they've almost, have they regressed? I think they have. They've regressed from 1, 2, and 3, and I'm talking weeks 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. From week to week, Bortles' rating has gone down each week. His performance has been a little shakier from week to week to week.
And the good thing is that the defense, I think, besides what happened in San Diego, and the offense didn't help them out much, but I at least encouraged that they did a pretty good job against Green Bay, had, you know, a debacle in San Diego, but then I thought they played pretty well last week.
Got to get a run game going on offense, too. That's part of this issue.
Well,
right, yeah. No, they're not
I'm digging
good.
Deep again.
I mean, the run game right now is bad. It's really bad.
Why? Why? You're an offensive lineman. Why is the running game struggling?
They're losing at the point of attack. Very basic run football. You can't lose there. Two, some more of the technical stuff. They want to run the outside zone, the stretch play. That's what we saw them have success with in the preseason. It's different in the preseason because you're getting base looks. Backers aren't, you know, bossing over or Justin Strong or weak. And, you know, they're getting your vanilla look. So it's easier to get on target and get on track and get those guys. Now you get different looks. Watching the tape against San Diego, and Jeff, I was showing you this on the plane. I don't think their targets are very good. They're not targeting the down guy in the zone game where you target. Your aiming point is critical because that takes you not only through the down guy with the guy you're working with, the adjacent offensive lineman, but gets you on your track to the linebacker level. And so when your target is bad initially, it gets you all out of sorts.
It's just like pass protection. If you got a good initial set, you got a chance.
It gives you a much better chance. And so they were getting the wrong backers off the wrong tracks. Backers getting over the top. That was San Diego. This week, similar issues on targeting, and then
they just got beat up front,
and then they got physically beat. But then the working together in the outside zone was just not very good. I don't think the technique was great. You had guys that were backups playing; they struggled. And when you struggle, then you start trying stuff, and you're trying to just figure out a way to get it done. And sometimes you get sloppier,
and
that's what you saw. So
like the combo blocks,
yeah, you're not
between Shatley and Reed and Shatley and AJ.
AJ was no better.
They weren't good.
No, they were not working in concert together, getting next to each other, hip to hip, working the levels. You know, getting to the backer at the right time. They're leaving down guys, and one-on-one blocks were getting beat at the point of attack. Too much pushback. Jeremy didn't have a great game either. And so right now you're struggling running the zone. And the outside stretch is a play that can really create some big runs for you, but can be some negative plays as well.
All right, last question
for
you.
So with that, they need to change the scheme.
Can you do
the scheme? Yes.
All right, that's going to be another whole question session. I know we don't have time for that.
We'll get to that.
Real quick before we take a break. Luke Jokel. Did he have the best game of an offensive lineman this past week?
Jeff, that's like saying I'm not going to say the example I was going to say because it would be rude. None of them played well. Luke played the best of the worst.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I would say Luke was average and the rest were below average.
Kelvin Beecham was back in the practice field this week. Having him back, would that help that stretch and all that outside zone stuff?
No.
Kelvin is going to help the pass protection. He is a lockdown. He really does a great job in pass. No. It's a lot of the issues inside. Linder back will help that.
If he's back.
We'll see. We'll come back and see what it takes to change a scheme 4 weeks into a season, or five, or six.
Can't do it.
Whatever happens.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Uh-oh. Hey, I feel a segment coming on. Calling all Jacksonville runners. Don't miss the Stash Dash 5K at Everbank Field Saturday, October 15th. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jags Raiders game. Sign up today at jaguars.com/stash-dash. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Logman, Tony Baselli. The Jaguars and the Colts coming up Sunday at Wembley Stadium in London. A 2:30 London time start. That means 9:30 in the morning kickoff Sunday.
NFL football with coffee. We get back, Monday morning, 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Oh, perfect.
Not bad.
It's like a West Coast road trip.
Yeah, about the same.
Kind of.
Yeah, about the same, but we'll feel a lot worse, I can tell you that.
No, I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm going to sleep all the way home.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Great.
Yeah, that luxury chair that we get.
Yeah. All that
room. The ones that are real wide and they lay flat.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
yeah, me and Baselli get hooked up.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's real nice.
We get the economy row that actually we don't have seats in front of us, but there's an exit door right there.
And the middle thing doesn't go up.
And it's got a really big bubble thing, mm-hmm. right? And if you want to lay your leg up on top of it, you get scolded in a British accent.
Well, you know the good thing for me is, Jeff, because, you know, those seats that we sit in, the middle section doesn't go up. It's, like, fastened in. So,
yeah. And they're not, the armrest.
Armrest.
The armrest between the chairs. They don't go up.
And they're not the widest seats.
No.
And so when I was, you know, tipping close to 350 last year.
Well, excuse me?
My rear end.
360?
My rear end.
6-0. 360.
No, it was 50. I had to get a shoehorn to get my rear end in.
You're right.
And now losing all this weight, I'll be much more comfortable.
The best part of the flight, though,
how many cookies did you eat last year at 360?
I'll be having zero this time.
Why?
One, I'm not flying with you guys over.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No, flying home, I might have one, but flying there, I'll be on my own.
You will have one.
I'm going back. We're getting over there.
See, this is his opportunity to be a complete glutton.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can see it. He's going to be eating everything.
My wife's going with me, so she'll know. So I got to be careful. I don't want to get in trouble from the missus.
Before the break, we were discussing, is it possible to have a scheme change on the offensive line in the midst of a season?
Yes.
It's week four this week, the bye week next week,
yes.
week six after that?
Oh, come on, yes.
No.
No?
No.
First of all, I'll ask it this way. What scheme do they run right now?
Zone.
Okay. That's it?
No. I mean, they run other plays,
so
but that's primarily what they want to be.
Okay, but they run gap plays, right? They run power. They run different things. I think you will see in the coming weeks, not that they're going to scrap the outside zone, but you will see more gap, which is the power, and downhill double team plays than you will zone plays.
But they're not changing the scheme. They're changing the percentages of what's being run.
Well, right, and that's what I'm saying. You're a zone scheme. When I say scheme, you're majority zone right now, and your change of pace is your gap plays, your power and stuff like that. I think right how they are suited right now and with the personnel they have, if it was me, and maybe they won't do it, I mean, but if it was me, I would go to more double teams and downhill and pound it with Chris Ivory and not go as horizontal.
Here's the problem with that. They love to have the complement to the zone, which is?
The naked bootleg.
Play action, okay? And that helps the quarterback out a lot.
We only ran it twice last week.
Well, if you run the ball well, it helps.
But I mean, even when you don't run the ball well, they completed both of them last week, and they weren't running the ball effectively then.
For a total of 9 yards.
But it's 9 yards. Yeah. You take 9 yards on two downs?
So I was asking.
Right now, this offense, if it's first or second down, would you take 4.5 yards?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you take the 9 yards of naked bootlegs on two separate combined 9 yards on two plays and averaging 1.8 yards per carry by your backs,
mm-hmm.
or zero naked bootlegs on zero called plays and averaging 4 yards a carry on?
So you're guaranteeing 4 yards a carry.
Okay, I'll say 3.5. I won't even stretch it. I'll say 3.5.
Tony Baselli, write it down as guaranteeing 4 yards with a scheme change.
Well, I got a guarantee for you tonight. I'll give you a guarantee later tonight.
4 yards.
But what would you rather have, Jeff?
You take the 4 yards.
Yeah, 3.5,
well,
4 yards.
No, I want 4. I don't want 3.5. You said
so
4. Give me 4.
You want the over.
My point is you need to be more productive in the running game, and that's more important than two naked bootlegs. Because sooner or later, if you're not running the zone effectively, they can slow down the backside. If you're stopping the zone on the front side, you can really slow down the chase guy from the backside.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then if they start running more gap power scheme and they can't do that either as effectively as they would like?
Why are you being so negative?
I'm just asking as a devil's advocate. What happens?
Well, what happens if, you know, the sky falls? I don't know. It's bad. I mean, it's not good. I mean, that's a dumb question.
Question.
No, it's not, because if you can't run the ball, if you can't run it with any scheme, then you don't run it.
You just got to go pass five wide, right?
No,
can't do that.
Can't win football.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Way.
It's
can't,
a
you can't. You know, a lot of people are asking for that.
You can't do
you
it.
Know, let Blake throw it around the yard and all that stuff.
That'd be fun for about a half.
How do you and why would you want to do that when he's struggling? Why? I mean, that doesn't make
any
sense.
On the Monday night show, it was Pete Prisco was arguing for that. And how he played in Frank Frangie before he got off. How
Pete would be arguing for that if you were running the ball for 150 a game.
But Frank said the same thing, that Blake plays better when he's off schedule. And I said, whoa, wait a second. Okay. So Blake plays, that's our theory, that Blake plays better. I don't see your notes, and I don't care about your notes, PK. Just leave us alone for a second.
Stop hitting the bass. Hitting the microphone. Yeah. Tony,
sorry.
This is radio. And
yeah, this is radio,
TV,
by the way.
Okay,
everything.
Sorry. I have nervous twitch. But my point
– I got you angry.
He said that the he's off schedule. And I said, let me ask you a question. So we should schedule –
off schedule.
More
schedule off schedule.
So what we're going to do is say, hey, Chris Reed, get beat off the snap so Blake has to run around with his hair, you know, hair on fire and try to throw it. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And I've heard the hurry up. And listen, I would have been all for changing the pace at times. That's fine. You change the pace, you know, give the defense a different look. But if we think we are set up as a team to go out in 3 and 4 wides and no huddle and give the – game to Blake at the line of scrimmage and say, hey, just go.
Doesn't work.
It's not where we are. It's not who we are.
It's not who he is.
It's not who he is yet. Maybe one day, but
maybe.
Not yet. That's not winning football. This team, with Blake Bortles as the quarterback, has never won a game when he's thrown for over 300 yards. Never. So now we're all of a sudden going to say, that's the formula to victory. It's dumb. You got to run the ball.
The formula has not changed.
No. And you can't panic right now. You make adjustments.
Pete and Frangie are panicked.
Yeah.
They're panicking.
I can see that.
Most people are.
They're panicking.
A lot of people are panicking.
No,
right,
but hey. You know, look,
I get it.
They just need to do what they intended to do better. Simple fact. If that's what you wanted to be on offense, run the ball, zone scheme. Throw the ball.
Yeah, but I think you can change the
ball.
I think you can get away from the zone a little
bit. And that's more of a percentage thing. It's not changing the whole scheme. But you got to run your offense. You can't all of a sudden say, okay, we're going to change things in mid-fly. I mean, if they do that, then they should all be fired for doing that. Because you know what? That's not what you do.
Then they're panicking.
Yeah. And it would not look good on a coached player, people looking on the outside. And it ain't going to work. It wouldn't work. You keep doing what you're doing, you just do it better. Simple.
And that was, you know, this whole week we've been talking about this, and I've been criticized quite a bit for saying, oh, you're giving the coaches a pass, because I've been saying the players have to execute better.
You've been hammered this week for that,
okay,
by the way.
Hammered.
Not criticized.
Hammered. And I'm not giving the coaches a pass. Gus Bradley and his staff will ultimately be accountable at some point. My guess is at the end of the year for how many wins and how many losses and how the ledger works out. That's how it works in the NFL.
Pretty easy.
But the players, I think this is a players' league. So there's no and when you lose a football game, it's on everyone from the head coach all the way down. But when I say that I believe it's a players' league, players' job is to go execute the game plan that is put out there. And so if I saw us executing on the game plan and still losing, or defenses being called where guys were put in bad positions, or offensive plays being called where guys are being asked things they can't do, then I'd be like, this isn't players. This is coaches asking us to do things that we can't do. But when I turn on the tape and we can't win at the line of scrimmage and we can't block 4 down guys to run inside or outside zone or any play, gap, whatever you want to do, and I watch when the quarterback is at times looks great, at times I feel like Blake's issues, he's pressing right now. I think that's what it is. Everyone says it's mechanics. At times it's mechanics, but I went back and watched the plays. Sometimes his mechanics look great. Motion's tight. It's fired out. It's accurate. Other times it's down by his ankles, it looks like, and it's slow, and he's late, and it's not good.
No, but you would agree. I mean, look.
So he's pressing.
It well, to go back to the players coaches thing.
But my point, let me finish what I was going to say. I got
sidetracked.
Sidetracked, as I do often. So to Jeff's point is they have to do it better. At the end of the day, this league's about guys winning one-on-one battles. So if I'm the center and it's Brandon Linder or Shatley, and last week it was Shatley, and I'm blocking Brandon Williams, there's going to be times where I'm just one-on-one and I got to beat him. If we want to be successful, I have to block him. Or I have to double him with A.J. Cannon after the linebacker and do my job. If I'm Luke Jokel, I got to block Terrell Suggs. Or whoever I'm playing against. If I'm Jeremy Parnell, if I'm Allen Robinson, I got to beat the corner. I got to beat Jason Verrett. I got to beat Antonio Cromartie or whoever they're going to put out there. If I'm Blake, I have to make the right call and read the blitz and do it the right way. And you can go to the defensive side of the ball. It's no different. And when you're not doing that consistently, it's hard to win football games. I don't know what plays you call where you don't block the four down guys.
Well, what I wanted to add to that is that, you know, I understand your point that it is players, but it is also the coach's job to get the players to do that.
I agree.
And that's where it's shared. It's everybody's responsibility, you know, and coaches know that, players know that, everybody knows that.
It's not scrapping everything and changing everything. You might change the nuances of your run scheme from more gap to more less zone or vice versa. You have to do it better. What does doing it better mean? That means players executing their job at a higher level.
And it's the coaches to get them to do it better, and the players executing it better.
It's a big circle, man. Here's the thing.
If let's say you're getting executed, you're not getting execution, okay? And you're not getting execution at all. Is it the player or is it the coach? Okay, if it's the coach, then that means the GM is doing a good job. Okay, if it's the player, it means the GM is not doing a good job. So, I mean, there's, you know, where's the blame going to go? Simple fact is I think the players on this football team are good enough. They have time to make this thing right. And I think the coaches are good enough. Okay? But everybody's got to share in it, and everybody's got to own it, and everybody's got to go, let's go put the blinders on. Because, you know, when you talk about 0-3 after 3 years under a regime, it gets loud.
No doubt.
As it should. You know, this is the year. They've talked about it. The fans expected it. You know, they've acknowledged it. They've felt like they've got a good team. They're ready to win. And they didn't come out and say that we're ready to be undefeated, but they came and said they're ready to win. They feel good about their roster.
Well, undefeated out the door. That? We've missed that 2 weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah. I don't want to break it to you, but
so you know. Mathematically, we can't do that.
That's
anymore.
The way it is. You know, and you know, Gus Bradley was asked about it, and he said it would be selfish of him to sit there and worry about himself. I give him props for saying that, because that's not how he's wired. He's not worried about his job. He's worried about this team. I give him credit for that. But they have to win. They've got to win. That's what you do. That's what you're paid to do.
And winning makes everything better.
And here's the thing.
Everything.
Even though you've had three losses, there's a coach that I used to have going all the way back into college. His name was Phil Almation. And I think he's coached at like 80 universities, I swear.
80. How old is he?
He's gotten fired midseason a couple times now. So he's been all over the place. He's probably like 30. For real, like 30. And he always told me, he said, look, you don't have a problem that winning doesn't cure. And it is no different for this football team right now. If they win, okay, it cures it. They win next week, cures it that week too. And then all of a sudden you get back. You know, get back into the – and I'm not saying back into contention. I'm talking just back in the mix. But you got to do it one W at a time, and it's got to start this week in Indianapolis, or against Indianapolis in London.
It absolutely does, and that'll be a 2:30 London time kick, 9:30 a.m. Sunday. We'll come back and talk a little defense for this Jaguars team. Performed pretty well last week, and they stepped up against Andrew Luck. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. the Jaguars Women's Association and PRI Productions for Meet Me at the 50, benefiting In the Pink. ESPN's Susie Culver and John Gruden will keynote the event. And yes, men are welcome to. Save the date for Thursday, October 13th. Tickets are $75. They're available at jaguars.com/50.
Chucky. Gruden. Yeah. Chucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Chucky's going to be in town.
That's cool.
That is cool. And he is, it's always fun to watch him when he does his evaluation on the draft pick quarterbacks.
Mm.
Has he ever talked anything or anything negative about any of those guys ever? I love this guy. Here's why I like him.
He is better on Monday Night Football now. He gets critical of people on Monday Night Football.
He does.
At first he didn't. I think he does a good job. I've never actually watched one of his quarterback things.
You haven't? No, it's pretty good stuff.
Nope.
Yeah, he does a good job with it.
If I remember right, Blake Bortles was in one of those, and this is a very big time. We were talking about Blake earlier, and things just aren't going well right now the last couple weeks for him, but this is a different kind of feel for him, right?
Well, look, this is not an easy position for Blake Bortles to be in. You know, he's not playing well. The offense is not playing well. The football team is 0-3. And you've got the weight of the franchise on your shoulders, okay? Think about that for a minute, okay? The head coach, the general manager, this is their year four. He wasn't here, obviously, for the first one. But they drafted him to be a franchise guy. The football team right now is 0-3. He's getting asked questions about Gus's job. You know, and he's replying, I love playing for Gus, want to win for Gus. That's not easy now. I mean, you're talking a young player that, I mean, could, if he puts it all on there, could have the weight of the franchise on his shoulders.
Well, he needs to throw it all off.
Not easy.
No.
How do you do that?
Well, one, the thing I think he's part of his struggles is and might be because what some of the things Jeff's talking about. I think he's pressing too much out there. It looks like he's forcing things and trying to make it happen instead of just relaxing and letting the game come to him. And I think that's what some people see sometimes. It's like when he's running around and kind of just letting it go is when he's at his best. Well, you can do that in the normal course of play. And I think it's just taking a deep breath and relaxing and not trying to have the attitudes, I have to make a play here because it's on me. I have to do it.
And you listen to his comments after the game.
Yeah,
that's what you're hearing,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying that as a selfish, like he wants to be the man. He feels that pressure.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that if you're in his position. You don't control Gus's future or the GM's future, and this franchise is much bigger than any one player. And so you have to, as a player, because it's hard for him because the relationship he has and this franchise hasn't won for a long time, and him and Gus are close, and he likes it here and all those different things. And so the natural tendency is to say, I got to do it. And I think the best thing he could do is just say, I'm just going to go play football. I'm not going to worry about anything else. I don't control anything but what I do and the offense around me does. This game can be won or lost with or without me, but I'm going to do my best and do my job. And it's almost you have to remind yourself because Jeff's right. He has a lot. If he allows himself, he has a ton of pressure. And it's always going to be there, so he better learn to deal with it now. Yeah. Because if he has success now and he becomes the man, the franchise guy.
Yeah, but the franchise pressure right now is high.
Oh, it is. No, but I'm saying it's going to be there in different ways all the time. You don't think there's pressure on Tom Brady to be Tom Brady week in and week out or Drew Brees or these guys? And if you want to be the man, there's pressure of the man that comes with it. I mean, that's what the quarterback position is about. And he has the mental makeup to do it, which is what I think we all love about him. And now this is a tough time right now. And this is where you learn. And I think if he'll just let the game come to him a little bit, relax a little bit, I think he'll be fine. Listen, the mechanics are not perfect, and I've heard a lot about that, but I'll go back to watching the tape. At times, it looks no different than last year, and good quick release. Other times it looks very long. Why that is, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the one thing that and I'm not a quarterback expert, neither is Tony, and that's why we kind of were we both hesitate a little bit on trying to make judgments on all that, but the one thing that I think you watch when you watch the film on Blake, and look, I know we're talking a lot about Blake, and there's more to it than Blake. It's everything, everybody else on offense, too.
But it's a quarterback league. He's
but
a
it's
quarterback.
A quarterback league. There's no doubt. But the one thing you see with most quarterbacks is when you watch their feet, you know, where's their feet at in the play? Because feet is usually an indicator of where their mind is. And in San Diego, we saw a little bit of uncomfortableness in the pocket. And you didn't really see that against the Ravens. But what you saw was some uncertainty of where to deliver and where to look to go with the ball. And I think that that's an indicator of, you know, that things aren't clear for them. And then maybe there's that, you know, that anxiety, pressure, whatever is getting to them. And, look, I don't want to psychoanalyze anybody. But if you think about it in terms of how much pressure could be on him, it could be a lot.
But, Jeff, we both said it. And it was confirmed when I watched the tape that he tried to force the ball down Robinson early.
No, he had Allen Hurns wide open on the other side of the field.
Wide open.
But here's the question that I have on that.
11 times for 7 catches.
Okay, here's the question I have on that. You know, the conversation last week, because they didn't get Allen Robinson involved early in San Diego. Who cares? As long as you're getting them involved, right? But the conversation was, you know, well, we need to get A-Rob involved more. No, you don't. You throw it to A-Rob when A-Rob's open.
Throw the open guy.
Right? Because you had that play, and then there was another play later on, and I made notes on it. Okay? To go to my notes.
As you're looking for your notes.
I got it.
The
play that he was looking to A-Rob on the flat. Yeah. Remember, that's the one that Julius has got one-on-one against McClellan, the linebacker. And if he sees it and he throws it, and if it's accurate, touchdown. Touchdown. There was another one where he had Rashad Green open on a crossing route that was a little bit on the offensive line. He gets flushed out of the pocket. But if you flush, you got 3-1. You know, Tony, 3-1, yeah. Three guys on one side, one on the other. The last place if you have the option of flushing to, you don't flush to the side where there's one. You flush to the side that there's three.
More guys.
And you keep your eyes on that side, and he flushes. And that wasn't because he was focusing on Allen Robinson, I don't think. But he got his eyes away from it. But he had an open guy. But, I mean, a couple of those were A-Rob, A-Rob, A-Rob. Well, no. Open guy, open guy, open guy.
Well, and especially when you're talking about a young quarterback and all the possible pressures that's already on him. Now, I mean, I think the last thing you want to tell him is like, and we got to get A-Rob involved. He's going to line of scrimmage. He's like, all right, I got the franchise, I got the head coach, I got my own career.
I got to deal with 15.
I got all these guys counting on me. And, by the way, I got to get the ball at 15. So hike. Are you kidding me? And I'm not saying that's what Greg Olsen or those guys are saying, that, but I think
– No, but you've heard that in their conversations, right?
And as a player, you can kind of internalize some of that stuff. So if I was talking to Blake, I'd say take a deep breath, go play ball. You're a good player. You know what you're doing. Go play. Go play. Let it go a little bit and have some fun out there. And because that's when I think he's playing his best, is when he's competing, because he's an ultimate competitor, and he's letting it loose a little bit and having some fun. And if he'll do that and let the game come to him, I think he'll be fine. I am not of the mindset, let's panic because of three games about Blake Bortles. Let's throw away everything we saw last year. Let's throw away all the improvement from year one to year two. And because of a three-game sample size and one of them being really bad, let's throw them all out and he can't play. I don't buy it. I just don't think that's fair, and I think it's pretty moronic.
You know the one good thing about all this? Have we heard any calls for Chad Henne?
No.
No.
We haven't.
I had someone call and say they wanted Brandon
Not
Allen.
Yet.
That might happen.
Big arm.
You did?
Someone said jokingly about Brandon Allen. I don't think they were serious.
The JTA Stadium.
I think it was you, JP.
Yeah, it might have been. I'm on a roll today. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. We'll pick some games in week 4 coming up. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggum, and Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday. It's time for our weekly look around the National Football League. We'll pick some games in Week 4. The season statistics are still in my favor, though I lost last week to Logs. Logs, you were 7-8 last week. You're now 13-17 on the season in the last 2 weeks. I was 6-9 last week, now 14-16.
I was undefeated Week 1, Tony.
Yeah, I didn't pick Week 1. I started...
17.
That's bad, right? That's pretty bad. Not good. But you're going to join us this week.
What's your
week,
record
right?
overall?
I'm 14-16. I got a game on you.
Okay. That won't last long.
Okay.
I see the first week we actually started keeping track of these. I was picking opposite of JP just to be opposite.
That's what it was.
Yeah, but now last week I got no excuse. Okay. I was picking them who I thought.
Great. All right. So let's start off with the Dolphins and the Bengals on Thursday night, a battle of 1 and 2 teams. Logs, who you got?
That's tonight. I'll take Cincinnati.
Where is that game?
It's in Cincinnati.
I got the Bengals.
Okay. We'll make it a trio. Panthers at the Falcons.
Panthers.
I'm going to go Falcons at home.
At the Falcons?
Yeah, I'm going Falcons at home.
Defense
I'm
can't
going,
stop
I'm
anybody.
Going Carolina.
Okay.
Make sure you write this down
I've
properly.
I've got it right here. I'm writing them down.
Okay, because I don't, you
oh,
know.
You don't trust
I need to start writing. No, I don't. I really don't trust
you. Write them, too.
No,
take
I don't trust
your
you.
Notepad over there you showed off earlier.
I'm going to start taking notes.
Ravens host the Raiders.
I'm
going
go with
Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders.
Yep, me too.
The Ravens are not good enough to be 4-0.
Raiders.
Okay, that's all three of us. The Lions, 1-2 at the winless Bears.
I'm going with Chicago.
Oh, are you? Getting their first win, huh?
Yep.
Who is it again? Which matchup?
Lions at Bears.
I'm taking the Lions.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with Tony and the Bears going to get their first win at home.
With who? The quarterback?
Doesn't matter.
Hoyer? Who John, serious?
John Fox will have them ready.
Oh, come on.
Exotic Smash Mouth Titans at the Texans.
Texans
for
at,
me.
Is that the Texans?
Yeah.
It's at Houston.
Yeah, I'll take Texans.
Okay. The Bills at the undefeated Patriots.
Ooh.
They don't know
who's the quarterback.
No idea who the
I'm taking the Bills.
Is. I'm taking the Pats.
I'm taking the Bills.
Okay. I'm going with Tony, and I'm going Pats. Seahawks 2-1 at the Jets.
Oh, just are you? Wait a minute. Have you ever been different from Tony yet?
No.
Oh, you're just riding his coattails.
I haven't.
Well, you're 13-17. I think he figured out
yeah,
both of you.
I ain't following you. I got news for you. Seahawks at the Jets. I'll take the Hawks on the road.
Go ahead, Tony.
I'm going the J-E-T-S, Jets.
So am I.
Okay. You used to play that,
see,
Jeff.
See, now we're going to make you pick first so you can't ride coattails.
That's fine. Good, great. The Browns at the Redskins.
Who you got?
I got the Skins.
I'm taking the I'm not taking the Browns. I'm taking the Redskins.
Say, they're the Washington football team. Isn't that what the politically correct thing
yeah.
is?
Oh, come
you
on.
You are a
not,
national
you're far from
now.
Politically
yeah.
correct.
I got them.
The Broncos at the Bucks, 405 kick. I got the Broncos on the road.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm going to take the Broncos, too.
I'm going Bucks to get upset the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. Rams at the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
I'll go Rams.
I'll pick first.
Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
You really think that they're going to lose two in a row after the way they played last week?
My Rams are rolling right now. Let's go.
No.
Saints at the Chargers.
Chargers. Saints. Such a bad defense.
The Saints.
I'll take the Chargers.
I'm taking the Chargers, too.
Okay.
I mean,
quit riding our coattails, Logs.
No.
Cowboys at the Niners. Dak Prescott, I'll go with him still.
Cowboys at the Niners.
I got the Cowboys.
Go ahead, Tony. I'm going to pick last on this one.
Mm-hmm. Blaine Train.
49ers.
Ooh, he went for it.
I'm taking the Cowboys. Just to be different on that one.
Okay.
Because I was going to take the 49ers.
Sunday night football. Chiefs at the Steelers. Should be a good game. I'll take the Steelers.
I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't see the Steelers getting blown out. I think they're going to respond after getting taken to the woodshed by Carson Wentz.
Unbelievable. The Giants at the Vikings on Monday night.
Vikings.
Might be ugly.
Everybody. All right, there you go. There you go. We don't pick the Jaguars game as part of the rankings, but we will pick the Jags.
Why don't we pick the Jaguar games?
Because we always pick the Jaguars to win.
What if I'm picking the Colts this week?
Are you picking the Colts this week?
No.
I didn't think so. So
I'm guaranteeing to win this week.
There you have it. Let's talk about this
no,
Colts Jags game.
No, this is my first guy. I'm not guaranteed to win all year.
Yeah, you
Joe, have.
Joe, have
I?
Joe?
No, he hasn't.
I haven't. No. Mondays or Thursdays, usually I'm good for a couple guarantees a week, but not this year.
How many of your guarantees have actually worked?
A lot. A lot.
Like,
okay. Well you guarantee a lot, too. So what percentage of guarantees have worked?
Well, this
isn't
just a guarantee. This is a stone-cold lock.
Oh, lock of the week.
Okay.
The king of sting over here, Tony Boselli.
And I've never missed on one of the the stone-cold locks of the week. Those right there are guarantees. They will win.
Wow.
And they will win by 7 or more points.
Oh, better than a touchdown.
Seven or more.
Yes. They're rolling. We are rolling this week. We're rolling. I think the defense is going to get after him.
I don't care how many points.
I think the defense is going to get after him. I'll tell you one thing. I loved watching the film. Ngakoue and Fowler are starting to come.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to rush the passer. Malik Jackson played outstanding. Telvin Smith, Paul Posluszny.
Telvin Smith is a stud.
Yeah. Telvin Smith, Paul Posluszny, and Jalen Ramsey. If 22 guys played with their passion and their speed out there, and their energy, watch out. I'm telling you, the defense is going to lock down the Colts. And Blake is going to have a get-well game.
Mm. Wow. That's a lot of guarantees.
What would you define as a get-well game?
No interceptions.
Three touchdowns?
Two touchdowns.
Two.
And a big day on the ground by Chris Ivory.
Okay. Mm. I hope that works. That the but most importantly, I hope the zero interceptions happens.
It's going to happen.
Got to stop turning the ball over.
Because right now he's on pace for
32.
How many? 32.
Ooh.
Which would be
he's got 5 or 6 right now.
He's got 6, right?
Yeah, 32.
Yeah. And a fumble, right? Didn't he have 1 week
left? Yeah, he's got 6 and a fumble. So he's been responsible for 7. Well, I don't want to say all of them have been on him.
Well, the last interception is a throw.
Yeah, but it's still an interception. He shouldn't be in that situation anyway. The
poor
play earlier leads to the interception because you're in that position.
The pick six that got dropped.
Two other ones that could have been intercepted in that game.
But zero. But my lock, there's no lock on the interceptions. I'm not locking that.
Oh, you're just locking the result.
The result is a stone-cold lock of the week, guaranteed Jags by 7 or more.
Well, I think if you lock the zero interceptions, I think that would have guaranteed a victory better.
Well, possibly, but I'm just telling they're going to win.
Yeah, they got to stop turning the ball over. You know, I was asked a question earlier in the week about, you know, what do they need to do differently? They need to stop turning the ball over. Well, why are these other teams that have young quarterbacks having success? They're not turning the ball over. You know?
The one that is just mind-numbing for me and bending or whatever you want to say is Carson Wentz.
Wentz wagon.
I don't understand that.
He went to North Dakota State.
I understand that. He's going to be the third quarterback 4 weeks ago. Now he's due for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Has no interceptions still for the year, I don't think.
Right.
How about Dak, by the way, in Dallas,
too?
He only
has one touchdown.
North Dakota State's breeding them now. I mean, they have some football players there now.
Manuel from San Diego, the outside backer.
That's right. And then this week, Haig, the starting guard for the Colts, is a North Dakota State guy.
Oh, we're going to get after him.
They're filling the league up.
More than Virginia.
Well, that's not hard. Well, I don't know. It might be kind of tight in the next couple of years between Virginia and USC now.
Oof.
That's right.
Oof.
You guys, so don't get on your high horses, you know, talking about Virginia, because I'll go to the SC card.
That's
not hard to do either.
Shut them up
now,
real quick. Yeah, it is ugly. It really is. So the Jags and the Colts coming up.
Don't even bring up Roll Tide.
Hey,
now.
We're undefeated. I don't know.
When you say we,
I knew you were going to say that because you say that every time I say that. I knew that was coming. I didn't. I paid a lot of money to go to school there.
Did you play one
say
snap
that.
There ever?
No.
There you go.
Did you ever graduate?
I did. On time and everything.
You got something to prove it?
Yeah.
I need proof.
Okay, I'll bring that next week. How about that? Jaguars Colts coming up at Wembley Stadium in London in week 4. The Jags got to get that first win of the season. Colts at 1-2. Remember, it's 2:30 London time kickoff, 9:30 in the morning here in Jacksonville. That means 6:30 for the public's tailgate show on your way to early church. For Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli, our whole crew, this is JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.